After evaluating the film, I think our guys are more still making small and subtle improvements and, you know, gradually getting better and better in a lot of phases and a lot of little things that are starting to add up to results. And a lot of little things are happening with more consistency. So you're having more and more of them in a row, which is allowing you to execute better with your drives on offense, defense, and different things. Special teams are playing better. Guys are working hard at their techniques. We're, you know, like I say, getting better. A lot of little things I've seen in practice, off and on, and now we're starting to take to the field and then do them more consistent in communications and things, especially up front, which is allowing the skill guys to do some things, the routes or throws. You know, it's allowing us to function in a different way and get some balance in the run and pass game and different things we're doing. Defensively, still doing a good job. Misfit some things in the run game. We got to get fixed in the run. We don't give up like that, but we did create three big turnovers. Getting those three turnovers were very good and played – I thought, well, offense transitioned very well. In other words, from the turnovers, got the – and then scored three straight times. That was huge because you got to transition that way. I think, one of the things we got to work on a little bit on defense, we gave up a couple drives. Once we got some big drives on offense and got up two and three scores, then we gave up a drive and let them kind of hang in there. We got to learn to close that door too and the transition and playing off momentum. I thought special teams, thought we covered kicks extremely well. Thought we had two punts that were down to 10 inside the other three punts. One of them was inside the 10, one was about the 10 or 11, and then the other one hit a really high punt. And we got it up there, a good hang, and we got covered and did a good job. 17 almost got out of there on one of the punts. On one of the things, kickoff return, had a couple good, better kickoff returns in what we did. So, and also, almost got another block kick on a PAT, got good penetration inside. So, continuing to make strides, and the little things are adding up to big things, and we're taking them to the field, from the practice field to the game field. And our young guys are consistently getting better. They're starting to understand, as I said before, just the strain and the focus that it takes when you're a young guy, even though you're talented, to play, not just play, but play well, play winning football. As they're practicing better and getting there, but there's still a lot of room to growth. Now we still have a lot of room. Like I say, all of a sudden when things are bad, they're never as bad as they seem. And all of a sudden you think things went good, they're never as good as they seem. You usually lie in between somewhere, and then how you practice and how you keep preparing. So hopefully we'll keep learning those lessons and do that and get ready and play UTSA this week.
To the right, questions? Gabe, and then Nolan.
Jimbo, how nice is it to see Kendrick Rogers reappear in this offense, and what does it do for the totality of this offense when he's playing like the
Well, I mean, I think it gets all your options. You have to have all your available receivers have to be a threat. When that happens, people say, if one guy you can hide guys, you can move guys, you can create plays for different guys, but they can always double team guys. But when you can create one on ones and everybody has the potential to make plays and are making plays, then the quarterback's job becomes much easier because the one on one matchups those guys can win, you can get the ball to. They can force you in one-on-one somewhere and take double teams other places that happen, and that's how you got to play. So in that regard, and his ability with his size and length and also physicality is really good.
Second row, Olin, and then Chuck.
Coach, I was also going to ask you about Kendrick. And he had those, a couple of tough games against Arkansas and Alabama. What was it that made you stick with him and keep him?
Oh, he has potential, and he has health. He practiced more last week and got into practice and was off nicked and knacked. And you got to keep staying with him, and we know what his potential is to do. But as at the end of the day, like I say, there's got to be a point, like we tell him, listen, we can only stay with you so long. You got to start getting results and play, and he did that, and hopefully he'll continue to do that and understand the grind it takes to do that. And because he practices hard, does hard, and plays hard, we just got to keep getting the results from him.
Left side, Chuck.
When you started seeing the improvement, was it just part of the process, or was there kind of a light bulb moment, whether in a game?
It's part
or
of the process that you just got to keep growing and you keep grinding, and when they don't do it, you make them do it. At the end of the day, they don't ask them to do it. You got to make them do it and make them do it over. And here's the point: kids today, and I say this as a general, I'm making a general statement. Coach, I can do it right. Well, can you not do it wrong? There's a difference, and that we did more of. We couldn't do it wrong in the game than we did periodically doing things right, and I think that's where youth and inexperience doesn't understand the responsibility that each time that I do it wrong could change the game, even though it's 9 out of 10 times I do it right. That can change the game, especially when you're playing as good of people as we play in the tight games in which we play. That mentality has to be there, and it's still not there all the way. We're still growing in that regard, and we have to get there.
And a quick follow-up on that, how important is patience given the youth that you have on the team?
As a reporter, y'all ask that question.
Gotta ask that.
Y'all ask all kind of questions, don't you? No, I know. I joke about it.
No,
it is. As a coach, you got to know we see things you don't see. Because everything you see in the fan, which is what the game is about. It's about results. There's no doubt. but there's a process to it, and why those things are happening, are and are they not capable of happening, and why are they not happening? Can they be fixed? And I think that's the, you know, as I assume all of us do with our kids. A lot of people don't see your kids the same way you do every day behind the scenes and at home, what they're capable of when they do things like they're supposed to do. So you don't throw them away and you don't can them and you don't, you stay with them knowing they can get there. But there's a fine line where the production and the things have to come. And that's that's what we walk. And you got to find that in between. And that's what we're doing. And we're still on that. We still got to get there. And it's funny, as a coach, though, it's always there like that. No matter what, it's always there like that. And you just got to keep fighting for that. As those inches that I talk about, and stay with guys and keep belief in them.
Down front, Brent.
I know you like players from near and far, but is it pretty neat when you have a guy or two guys contributing from pretty close, like Caldwell over here, Iola over there, and Morris and Rennick, that it's even neater when they grew up.
Listen, those guys played really good games.
Yeah.
Morris made a heck of a big pick, a big turnover in the game that got us going. And, you know, it's funny when you say that. Those kids grow up around here. They you grew up around. You dream of playing here. Most guys that grow up around whatever school they grew up around in that area, and that's their dream. And to be able to see that, sometimes they get there, but sometimes there's such pressure from being at home, you don't play as well. Sometimes that doesn't always pan out. And then it becomes, then you walk around there your whole life and say, well, you went there, but you didn't get it done. You know what I'm saying? That's a big burden to carry. People don't understand that on kids, the pressure on that. And for them to be able to come out here and make plays and contribute and really do what they're doing, I'm happy to see it. It is. It's a great thing, and it's great for our team. And Rennick is playing super football. Let me tell you something. All that guy does is do it right. I mean, blocks where he's supposed to be, puts his hat where he's supposed to hat. I mean, there's a lot of unheralded things that people don't see. What that guy's doing is helping us play good football.
To the left, Cease.
And I was going to piggyback on Rennick. When you have a walk-on that really
– y'all just cheat. You use cheat sheets. Y'all don't ever come up with your own ideas very often, do you?
It's very true, but I had it written down on here. But in July, he probably was like the fourth tight end at best. A role of a walk-on, do you treat them any different? And how does –
We don't treat them any different, but they're not always given certain opportunities that other guys are at times. I mean, you know, you guys are more – because the other guys here, because of talent levels and things like we said – like guys like Kendrick and guys that are up and down sometimes, injuries and different things, that maybe sometimes walk-ons aren't given as many opportunities as that. That's just the nature of the beast. That's not – I'd love to, but the other guys, you know, there's talent there, there's things there. But that tells me about Rennick. I mean, his perseverance, his mentality, his toughness. You got to remember, that guy also come off an ACL. He's 4.5, 5 months out. For him to even be out there is amazing, let alone be playing. This kid's going to be successful in what – this young man's going to be successful in whatever he does in life. He's a tough son of a gun, and he understands football. You know what I'm saying? And for him, the perseverance to do that, it's great. I mean, that's why, you know, the 12th man and the walk-ons here is great. And I've been able to be fortunate to be around some great walk-ons in my time. And they end up being really, really special people. And most of them that really become successful and persevere through all that, it's amazing how successful they are as people. It really is. You go back and look at some of the ones, as I was thinking about that the other day, not too long as you say that, how successful they are in their life, because they go to work and they ain't always told what they want to hear. They ain't always the first pick. They ain't always the guy that gets picked. And they step back in the back and wait for the three opportunities they get and take advantage of them and say, yes, sir, I'm happy. And all of a sudden, you know, kind of like life, then they're successful in life. The toughness it brings, the mentality it brings, it's amazing how successful they become. And I think Rennick will be one of those guys that really do. And right now, he's playing really good football for us.
Second row, Owen.
Jimbo, it was about this time a year ago, I think it was the Ole Miss game, where you said that you felt like maybe a light came on or a corner was turned. And I was wondering, do you have any kind of sense of something similar happening?
No, I mean,
happening?
Just because you played one great game don't mean that light bulb off. Sometimes they flicker. You know, sometimes hopefully they don't flicker. Hopefully we kept the juice going. You know what I'm saying? And if we learn why – listen, we always say, okay, why did you make mistakes? Why did you play bad? Y'all want to know that. Why did we play good? It's the same thing. As a player, why did we play well? Okay, we prepared. Maybe I watched more film this week. Maybe go back and review why you play good. I blocked out. I wasn't on social media 19 hours today. You know, I did my work. I did what I was supposed to do. I did my film time. I studied. I did extra film in practice. Or I practiced. I had a great mentality in practice. I was really focused, and it carried over to the game. So you can repeat. If you learn why you have successes and failures, then you can either stop them and repeat them like you want to. I mean, stop the failures and repeat the successes. And hopefully we can learn from that and hopefully continue to play well.
To the left, Justin, then to the right, Gabe.
Coach, 5 touchdowns for Kellen, accounted for. Just what are you seeing from number 11 right now?
I mean, a guy who understands what's going on, was very, trusted his eyes in the game with his decision-making, didn't try to predetermine, gathered the information, trusted his eyes, reacted. and allowed the game. And I always tell them, the game is bigger than anybody's ever coached it or ever played it. Mark it down. It will bite. As soon as you think you got it mastered, it will bite you right in the tail. You can't force it. You can't go out and say, I'm throwing for 300 yards a day. I'm going to run for 100 yards a day. I'm going to run for 200. I'm going to win this game. No, you better coach this game, and you better play this game. And you better do them both right, and then you'll get the results you want. And I think that's what, you know, he did in that game. He trusted his eyes. He let the game, took what made the great decision, was accurate with the ball, distributed the ball, wasn't selfish. You know, there were some plays he could have had some chances, throw some passes. He checked back the runs. It gave us really good plays and did some good things and vice versa, you know, and just, you know, made the right decisions. All of a sudden, we really excelled, and we played well around him.
Right side, Gabe.
You know, I wonder if you have an update on Elijah Blades and Damani Richardson.
Yeah, Elijah should be. I mean, he practiced. I mean, he banged up a little bit, and we'll see how that goes. He'll trainers are checking him out, and Damani same way.
To the left, Zach.
Jimbo, I know that you really don't have much of a choice in the matter, but are you a fan of playing non-conference games in the middle of a conference slate?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me at all.
Down front, Brent.
All right. So 40 plus years of playing and coaching this game, have you ever seen one player run off with another player's shoe?
Kellen Mond.
I know. I'm thinking.
I'm sorry.
I've seen him grab a helmet.
Okay.
I've seen helmets because they get ripped off sometime and the guy take a helmet. No, I've never seen it. I've never seen a shoe.
That was a new one.
That was a new one. And I didn't realize it happened at the time, actually.
So that's why I was going to ask you, based on that, and I know you said afterwards
no,
you
it's
didn't
still,
want
still,
doing that.
You know,
but he did get the shoe back.
Yeah, but let the official go get the shoe. I mean, I appreciate it. Listen, there's nothing wrong. I understand it totally. But I don't condone it because it hurts the overall purpose of what you're trying to do. You understand what I'm saying? Over a shoe? If he's got him on the ground beating him up, maybe I understand getting him off of him. You know what I'm saying? But it comes from a good place. It doesn't come from a bad place. But you've got to understand we're on the 2-yard line. It's a 14-7 game. That can change everything. You know what I'm saying? And I say that in a lot. Listen, don't let your personal ego or your personal ambitions override what we're here to do as an organization, as a team, and what's going on. And you can't let those things happen. Does that mean I don't like Prater? I love Prater. I walk down an alley with him in 2 seconds. I don't have that problem. But what I'm saying is, you know, let the official go. They're going to go get the shoe back. They ain't likely going to make him play without a shoe. You know what I'm saying? And the official know they got him. Maybe they get a penalty for running away with a shoe. You know what I'm saying? And what we do. But you know, I know. And I didn't realize that happened at the time, but I never seen that happen.
Last couple to the back, Tyler, and to the back right, Mike.
I got to tell Kellen, if you just make the daggone guy miss and get in the end zone, we ain't got that problem. you get a shoe, knocked out your shoes.
Go ahead, Tyler.
Coach, I know you never want to overlook an opponent. So what potential challenges could UTSA bring?
Shoot, defensively? I mean, there's stunts and blitzes. I mean, constant blitzing team, changing fronts, bring pressures all kind of times, different things, looks up front. Very, you have to be on the same page. Offensively, different formations. Like, I've known Frank Wilson a long time, their head football coach. He is a great guy and a great football coach. I knew him back when he started high school and he built old Perry Walker down in New Orleans. It was I mean, they hadn't won anything. They had never won. And he took them to how many state championships in a row? And we got a lot of great players off those teams when I was at LSU. I mean, turning things around and coaching and doing the things he's done. He's been a great college football coach, a position coach, does a good job. He'll have those guys ready, offense, defensively, in every way they do. And they present a lot of problems defensively with their blitz schemes, different front schemes, you know, stemming and moving. And I mean, they really do. As much as anybody we played, different things they do on offense and special teams, I mean, they'll have some tricks and things there. So, you know, we have to go play. And again, it's not about who you play. I don't care if it's Alabama. I don't care if it's UTSA. It's how you play. And how you prepare and the things I go back to. And you sound like a broken record. Yes, I am. Because that's what has success. That's why the game rewards that. You got to keep doing it, practicing well to play well.
Mike, you'll wrap us up.
Preparing well.
Coach, kind of a two-parter. You guys have a ton of young guys, a lot of the freshmen playing. Are you, A, surprised at how productive they've been, and, B, when do you stop coaching them like freshmen? Kind of where's that threshold?
I never have stopped coaching them like freshmen. And I joke about that. I don't, because I tell them, listen, if you're going to play – You're responsible for playing well. Now, is that hard? Is that time? The things you ask them to do, you may limit at times by putting in position to be successful, but when there's things they have to, you know, be in those situations, you got to call what you got to call. And you push them, and then you hug them afterwards and tell them, this is why I'm pushing you, buddy. This is tough right now. Just understand it and go. And does it surprise me? No, not really, because I knew that group coming in was a very talented group and had a chance. But, you know, you don't ever know how people are going to adapt and how quick they're going to adapt. You know what I mean? I've learned that a long time. And guys that I thought would make, I say this all the time, guys I thought would be coming here and do it right away sometimes don't. And then end up being great players. They just, the transition's tougher. And the guys who I thought, you know, may take them a while, they've transit. You don't ever know that. So, and in today's time with the number, I mean, these rosters anymore are more like 53-man rosters than 85-man rosters. With the injuries you incur, with the transfers you occur, and it's not like playing with 85 guys anymore. So your freshmen are going to have to make an impact, especially a significant impact.